This week on Dueling Review, because you demanded it, it's Batman versus Bigby, A Wolf in Gotham number 3. Ow, ow, ow.
Number three. We did number 1, right?
No, we didn't. We haven't done any of these. I haven't done any of these. Maybe you have. I mean, I believe the reviews are up on the site.
Maybe I reviewed it for the site then.
Maybe you did. I mean, I've read all three of the issues, so you know, I'm hip to what's going on. And so this is very much a middle issue. Things have happened. The bad guys have blown up a bunch of library repositories, and Batman and Bigby are out there trying to solve the crime. But as with any traditional crossover, because this is a crossover between Fables and DC Comics, and I've got a story about that in a moment, but as often happens when main characters meet from those crossovers, the first thing they have to do is not get along. The second thing that they have to do is fight and blame each other instead of talking it out. And so that's basically where we're at in issue 3, is that Batman's like, I'm going to go kill a wolf, and not understanding that it's Bigby, and they fight. And that's really the crux of this issue. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. What'd you think? What'd you think of the story? We'll get to art and stuff in a moment.
I didn't like it.
How come?
It's very confusing because, you know, we start out with what seem to be literary creators or characters or something.
Yeah, so the gang. So the
blowing
gang
up. Yeah.
Yeah, so the gang names themselves after authors. They're a bibliophile gang. So all their stuff has to be bibliophile. So it's very much like a, almost like a Batman 66 kind of thing where all of the goons are all named after some play on words of whatever the Riddler scheme is.
Right, and they're working for a Batman 66 villain, or at least they seem to be working for the Bookworm.
But they try. I don't think it's the Bookworm, because at one point in one of the issues, Batman says, well, the Bookworm is supposed to be on this island. I'm having someone fly there to confirm, but he's supposed to be retired. So
that was,
I have a feeling.
That was his guy in the Bookworm's gang. Batman has agents
in
the gangs around Gotham.
No. So Batman's talking about the real Bookworm from back of the day. He's like, that Bookworm retired. He's supposed to be on an island somewhere. I've got a guy who is flying there now to check and make sure that he's still there.
She asked, do you have a spy in the gang? She says, I did, but he retired.
Yeah, that's...
And I read that as the spy retired.
Well, there's also another guy in like the first issue that retires, and that may be the spy guy. But no, Batman specifically is talking about, maybe it's issue 2, specifically talking about
issue 2,
the Bookworm character. And so there's also something that's alluded to in either the first or second issue of this, where the villain, the bad guy, who is the Bookworm, that everyone thinks is the Bookworm, says, do you think they know who you really are? And he's like, I don't think so. Meaning that, and because we've got Cinderella and because we've got Bigby Wolf and at least one other fable running around Gotham City, I think that this is a fable that has come into Gotham and is posing as
the bookworm,
Batman's Bookworm.
Okay. Well, now I hate this issue.
Why?
Because none of that is in any way clear. None of that is clear. And
well, I mean, if you
like
read the first issue and you read the third issue, you may have missed a lot of information in the second issue.
All right. But even so, none of that is clear in here. And more importantly, the implication, there's a big splash page with someone who looks to be either the Bookworm or someone pretending to be the Bookworm.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have a discussion between Batman and the new commissioner, or that actually may be Cinderella. I don't know.
That's Cinderella. And she's not the commissioner. Jim Gordon is still in charge.
Right.
But she's a transfer.
Commissioner Gordon have a discussion.
Yeah.
Where they're talking about it. And it implies that Bookworm is still active and that his guy retired. And I don't like any of this. The part where Batman is like, I'm going to go and kill me a wolf, bothers me. The fact that throughout this issue we keep having references to his army of Robins, and how the Robins are all like these little kids that he has taken in off the street, and I'm just like, I swear to God, if at any point they say child soldiers, I am out.
I don't think they say child soldiers. So I'm you may not have read the first issue then, because the whole army of Robins things was also in the very first issue.
Yeah.
And so
I remember not liking it when I read it, and I don't feel like.
Go ahead.
I don't feel like this is a Batman that I'm interested in reading about. I feel like this is, in some ways, a distillation of some of the worst New Earth Batman tropes that sadly we kind of have to blame a little bit on Mark Waid coming out of the Tower of Babel storyline. You know, he's got his army running around. There's a point in this story, and this is the point where I said, no, I'm out. Bigby and Bruce Wayne hear the explosions, and they're standing on in broad daylight. They're standing, well, not broad daylight, but they're clearly visible. They are lit. They're standing on the side of a building, and Bruce Wayne is like, my city! And then he leaps off the edge of the building and takes his little bat gun and goes, ka-chunk, ka-chunk, and calls to Dick to gather the Robins. And I'm just like, what? What in the world is this?
He's leaping into action.
Right. With no mask.
Well, there's no time to spare.
Note that there are clearly people right there. There are people behind him when he and Big B go for the railing and jump.
And if you look at that, they're all running away, so their back is turned.
You know, I'm not going to give Barry Allen a pass for bad secret identity protection. I'm not going to give this Batman a pass. I'm also bothered by the fact that when we get the female Robin,
their backs are turned. Yeah,
I don't know who she Stephanie. Is, but she's wearing Stephanie's costume. Is that Stephanie?
It's Stephanie, yes.
Do they identify her?
I believe in a previous issue, yes.
Well, in a previous issue doesn't count. I'm not reviewing a previous issue. I'm reviewing issue 3.
Well, this is part 3 of 5. So, you know, granted, you should try to write a comic so that anyone coming in can figure out what's going on. Mm-hmm. This, though, in a mini series, does have specific chapters that tell a beginning, middle, and end. And so for that reason, that's why I made sure to read the first 2 issues, because I had a feeling coming into this, knowing Bill William, that this was going to be probably a little hard to parse if you just came in blind, because there's a lot of stuff going on here. And so I made sure to go back and read and make some checks and go, okay, so this is definitely Cinderella. This is definitely, you know, so-and-so. This is, you know, this is Stephanie, because, you know, the person who's training all the Robins wearing a Robin costume is Dick Grayson, right? Tim is around. Damien is around. Stephanie is around. You know, he's got this team of kids that are all potential Robins. And so you have to think, well, is this the way the Robins series currently running at DC Comics or about to launch at DC Comics? Is that what this is all about? And if so, that would be fine, except that we then say, okay, why is Dick Grayson wearing a Robin costume? And then at some point you say, ah, that's because this is not set in any kind of current continuity. And this gets into something that happened to me almost 20 years ago. Fables was just a huge deal at the time. It was probably still within its first or second year of running. My wife and I went to the San Diego Comic-Con, and we specifically sat in on the Bill Willingham, Lila Sturges Fables panel, the DC panel. And one of the questions that I asked that got Bill Willingham really mad was that, okay, since these Fables are crossing over into other continuities, into the real world, and since they are fictional and Batman is fictional, what is to say that Batman isn't someone that is also a quote unquote fable that they could cross over into that world? And Bill Willingham is like, get out. I don't want to hear that. And, he was joking, of course, but when I read this part specifically about Dick Grayson is still Robin, and we're seeing all of these Robins that make no sense, and we're seeing Batman acting like a Batman that makes no sense, I'm wondering if this isn't that idea explored. Like, what if Batman, because of the real world, because of the way that fables work, you can't kill them, but they have their own thing. What if Batman is a fable and this is just them crossing into the world? I mean, Bigby and Cindy at one point, I believe it's in this issue, have a face-to-face conversation. And she says, we've crossed over here. Have you found the person that we're looking for? Again, not implying that they're going from the Fables world to New York City, the quote unquote real world, but to this DC world, which could be anything of its own. And so that gives Bill William free reign to do whatever he wants with Batman. Now, that doesn't excuse, I'm not saying that that is an excuse for why you don't like the comic. You're totally entitled to not liking the comic. But as I read through this and as I start saying, okay, what is Willingham known for? He's really, known for spinning these tales of stuff that messes with your idea of what you know about these fictional characters. And that's what I think is going on here. I think we're going to find at the end that at some point Batman's going to get shot and then he's going to get right back up and he's going to go, why am I not dead? It's because I'm Batman. And they're going to have to explain to him, no, you are a fictional character. And you are a fable. That would not surprise me if that is how this issue ends. But from the story perspective, mm-hmm. which then leads me into the art of this issue, mm-hmm. this is very much 90s Batman.
Mm-hmm. And all from the way ways.
Both in the worst ways and maybe some of the better ways, but the way that the story is told, and then specifically the art feels it's like it's just ripped out of a 1997 Batman book. I don't remember who the artist is on this off the top of my head, but the art and inking just reminds me of like who did that initial Nightwing run with? Was it Chuck Dixon was the writer on that?
Scott McDaniel.
That's who this art kind of reminds me of.
Ryan Level and Jay Leaston on ink.
Yeah, that's kind of how this art reminds me of that. And especially with the coloring, too. Just screams, I'm reading a 1990s comic book or a comic book that came out around the same time that Fables came out. Mm-hmm. So I'm not really a fan of this art. There's a lot of wonkiness in the way faces and mouths are drawn. Mm-hmm. I like composition. I like the style. The colors are very reminiscent of a different time. So I kind of like that stuff. But some of the wonkiness in the faces, I can't get
over. Yeah. The sequence where Cinderella is yelling at the squadron of cops is framed really neat. But then you look at her face and she's got these enormous glasses and huge alien eyes. And I'm just like, wait, what in the world
turn,
is that?
Turn the page and then look at the cop who's screaming medic.
No.
And that's just like, what's going on with that guy's face? And then go to the next page where Batman is talking with Gordon and the close-up of Batman. It's like, that's not how a mouth works.
If you look at the shot that really kills me is the fully armored Batman with the rifle.
Yeah.
On like one of the last pages, at Bigby.
Yeah.
First of all, I mean, Batman with a rifle, my teeth are itching, but I'm willing to give it a shot. I'm willing to give it a chance.
I mean, they're rubber bullets, I swear.
It's still a rifle. But I look at that sequence and I'm just like, boy, how's he going to sneak up on anybody?
Well, he can't. And that's
50 pounds of armor.
And that's the thing, right? So in the first issue, Batman and Bigby kind of fought and Batman took Bigby out with a smoke grenade. He doesn't know that Bigby is the wolf. Bigby escapes in issue two and then they meet at the end of issue two. And Bigby is like, Bruce Wayne. And then he leans in and he's like, I know you're Batman. I can smell you. And that's when everything blows up. And so at this point, while Batman may not still know that the wolf is Bigby, he knows that this is just, I just want to say that Armored Batman, Crazy Army of Robins, Batman 66 reference. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that I think that this Batman is in a quote unquote Fables world. And this is not your DC Comics Batman that you're familiar with, but this is an amalgamation of Batman from all of the Batman stories that we've heard over the years and what people have thought through in their minds. And so this is the Batman a Tulpa Batman that we have manifested into this story.
If that's the case, the only way that I think that I might be into reading more of this.
Yeah. And so I think this is a 5-issue miniseries, maybe a 6-issue miniseries because it's DC Comics. Right. I'm definitely going to read the rest of this. just to see if my hunch plays out. More than likely, I'm completely off the mark, and I'm fine with being completely off the mark. One of the nice things about, you know, fan theories and things is that we can go down into these realms. The bad thing about fan theories is if when the solution is revealed, you still insist your answer is the right answer. That's where fans get really bad. But at this point, the everything that we have seen and everything that's been built up really points to, man, I think they're all fables. Because again, you're thinking, why is Stephanie Brown in this issue? Mm-hmm. Well, because she's a fable. But Stephanie Brown died. Right. But remember, fables, when you believe in them enough, they come back to life. That's why Bigby Wolf can be shot.
They retconned her death.
Right, right, right. But I mean, that can be the in-story explanation here for those people that are like, oh no, she died. Well, no, she didn't die. She came back to life. She got better, right? That's the joke, right? She died, but she got better. That's just like what happened to Bigby Wolf in the first arc of Fables, right? Who was it? Goldilocks just annihilates Bigby. It's just like this shocking ending. And then the next issue, you see him regrowing himself back up. And she's like, I know, we're fables. I knew it wasn't going to kill you, but I knew it was going to stop you. So that could very well be what's going on here. That being said, I could totally understand why you don't like this.
Yeah, I don't like
from the art alone. I don't like this series based on the art. It's everything that I didn't like about the 90s comics with Batman, or the late 90s, early 2000s.
It reminds me of visually, it reminds me of Eclipse Comics from about 1987, 88. When they were really trying to compete with Marvel and DC, and when they were doing that thing around the Total Eclipse era, where they were trying to mix together various things that didn't go together. Mm-hmm. So you'd have like Miracle Man's side by side with Beanish from the Bean World, and neither of them would be quite right. And that's really how I feel about this. I mean, I enjoy Fables up to a point. I feel like Fables did not stick an ending at all, and I feel like it really overstayed its welcome, at least for me. But some of those early Fable stories are phenomenal, and this feels like it lessens Batman and it lessens Bigby for me, because first of all, I don't see Bigby Wolf running around Gotham City like this and, you know, busting things up, unless, as you say, there's something we don't know.
Well, yeah. So, yeah, no, he's definitely not the wolf killer that everyone is after. And certainly with Cindy being there on the police force to kind of steer the situation around Big Wolf sightings, you know, most of this issue has, or most of this series so far has been him as Bigby. We only saw him, I think, in the middle towards the end of issue two as the wolf. And then here again, as the wolf, when it's finally revealed for people who don't know what's going on. I don't see Bigby as a killer here.
Bigby is being herded like a dumb animal by a couple of teenage Robins bugs me. And even though, you know, you get to a point where he's like, this is really getting out of hand. It's like he's
playing with out.
But he doesn't feel like he's playing with him. It doesn't feel like it's in character for Bigby to let this happen to him. Unless he's, you know, specifically trying to lead Batman into an ambush, which
he might be, right?
I hope
because,
so. But it,
because the thing at the very end
show us that, you know, except
at the end when Batman says, I do attack you, and Bigby is like, dumbass, you fooled me the first time. Did you really think that that was going to work a second time? And then Batman's like, well, what? It talks. And it's like, yeah, at this point, it does feel like Bigby has trapped you so that Bigby can now get Batman into a position to say, okay, let's explain stuff. Although Bigby has been historically in the fables, someone who is willing to be the heavy
a jerk.
Heavy and a jerk. He's the one that's willing to go and do the battles that the others won't. And I don't know what was going on in the Cinderella arc, story arc. I remember in that miniseries where she was a Cinderella agent of whatever, she was a secret agent kind of person. This also seems to imply that they are on a secret undercover mission, working for their secret fables organization, whatever that is. So I like the direction in which this story is going. I may not like all of the dialogue, but I like this kind of weirdness of what's with all this Team Robin, and why is Dick in a Robin costume, and why is, you know, why is all this going on? and then just starting to think, okay, what has happened in the past that might lead you to come to a potentially awesome ending 3 issues from now. And I think that that for me is enough to, even though I don't like the art and I don't like a lot of the dialogue, like you said, I'm going to go kill a wolf and kind of the all-star Batman kind of stuff. Yeah. A little bit of the all-star Batman shows up, I think is somewhat distracting, but then again, if that's what the author wants, the writer wants to do, and the editor approves it, then I guess we kind of can go along with it or not. And that's what, you know, dear listeners, if you have come this far into the show, you've heard both of our perspectives on this. So I think ultimately this boils down to whether you're interested in this or not. I was a huge Fables fan. I am a huge Bill Willingham fan from way, 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 way back. All the way back to like Maze Agency and probably before that.
Elementals Volume 1, baby.
Woo! Yeah, yeah, Elementals 2, yeah. You know, I've interacted with Bill and his cohorts. We're big fans of Chris Roberson. We're big fans of Lila Sturgis here. We are big fans of Mark Finn here. So I'm willing to give them a little bit of a pass. Also, the other thing that I'm kind of willing to give a little bit of pass to is that it's been like 6, 8 years, 10 years since we've seen Fables.
Was it 2015 when the last issue came out?
Something like that. So it's been a while since we've seen, you know, him crack the book open and, what is this? Wait a minute. The series ended in issue 150.
Right. Fables 150.
It was released in July 2015 is when that one came out. Okay. So that's like 7 years.
That was the issue that was itself a trade paperback.
Yes. 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 But this next sentence has me stumbling over myself. Mm-hmm. Fables will be starting with it, restarting with issue 151 for a 12 issue arc in May 2022. I don't remember seeing any of this announced.
Everything old is new again. Hey.
So maybe this is, you know, this big Batman crossover is Bill Willingham going, I recognize you, Steven Schleicher, that kid from the back of the room at the Comic-Con from 20 years ago. Here's this story just for you. Or he could be saying, here's my chance to kind of stretch my legs and reintroduce the greater world to Fables and hope that everything can still be fun when my new series kicks off in May. Because let's see, 3 issues from now, December, January, February, that gives them 2 months to promote the heck out of the first issue of Fables number one. That gives them, April for trade paperback. Yeah. Oh, Mark Buckingham, big fan of Mark Buckingham too. So
boy, I hate this more and more every time you say more things, because now I'm really mad. I don't have a problem with Fables coming back in as much as if it's good. But I also feel like, you know, the idea that this, you know, this crossover that really isn't tenable for either Batman or the Fables is probably a big launching point to remind people who love Batman that also Fables exists. And I'm just like,
I mean, that's just me saying this. I'm not saying that this is why they're
this is why they're doing it.
I mean,
they're
if you're going to
limited leading up to next year when we're going to have a relaunch of Fables, this is, hey, it's the Spider-Man second issue cameo. This is the, hey, we're going to make it all work.
So bottom line for me is I find this fine. This is fine. I'm definitely going to be reading the next 3 issues just to see where this goes. But I like it. But that's just me. I'm kind of already got shown my bias in saying that I like Mark Willingham and everybody that I've already mentioned. So there's my bias. Just like if you say Mark Waid has written something, there's my bias. Just like you say Umberto Ramos has done the art, there's my bias. So for me, I find this fine and I'll read it. You may not have that same bias that I do, dear listener. So if you do not want to read it based on what we have discussed, that is fine. Matthew, your final thoughts.
Generally, when it comes to reviews, we kind of have a loose, should you check it out? Should you buy it? Should you skip it? As a general rule, I don't like to break those, but I feel like a fourth category of run fast and run far. might be possible. I don't know. This is a comic book that
I think you could just say skip it. I think you could just say
yeah.
skip it.
Okay, I'll just say skip it.
You don't have to,
really
don't have to go down
off
the mean road.
Possible ways. I don't want to be mean. I mean, this is the thing. If you read this and you love it, that doesn't make you wrong. That makes you somebody who enjoys something that I didn't. That happens all the time. I mean, some people juggle geese. It's just a thing that happens. But as far as me, I didn't like this issue on a number of levels. And I think the biggest problem for me is when you do the crossover, you got to give me the MacGuffin that makes the crossover possible.
Right. And that's
or at
this,
least something that hand waves it.
Who's the
and
book
I don't book. Necessarily feel like this has done that. And so, you know, it's Bookworm. He'll be back. He's a bookworm.
Yeah, no, I really think that this, I really think that the bookworm character is some, is a fable that's escaped and that's who they're hunting down.
It's probably Mr. Mind inside the bookworm going, Bleh.
Yes. And then Shazam is going to come in and, yank Mr. Mind outside of, Skeets. And that's how the whole series is going to end. In fact, I think wasn't Willingham involved in 52?
No, I don't think so.
You're going to have to go and look. I could have swore that he was also involved in some way, shape, or form.
I don't think so. I want to say that was
I know
Wade,
it was Mark Wade.
Morrison. Maybe Azarello. There were four basic people writing.
Yeah. Anyway, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. One person liked the book.
Yeah, it was
the other
Wade,
person
Morrison,
hated the book.
Rucka and Johns, attorneys at law.
So you can go and figure out. Also, Keith Giffen was in on that. You can judge based on that where we go from here. We ended up on this book this week, thanks to our dear listeners who went over to our Patreon.com/Major Spoilers website to let us know what book we should review for the next episode. Now, here's the thing. I would love to tell you what is coming out next week, but I'll be completely honest with you here. I have no idea what's going on with Previews World. A couple of weeks ago, they were part of a ransomware hack attack, and they were trying to recover. And we mentioned last week when we looked at their new releases that they didn't have anything in their new releases category. Okay. They have, however, since then, and I'm going to guess Tuesday night of this past week, they posted everything that was coming out on November 17th, which was Wednesday of this week. And if you go over to their site and you look at November 17th, you'll see that they have a list of all of the comics that are there. However, if you go in and you say, okay, let me look and see what's going on for November 24th, and you click on that link, again, it's a blank document. Like they're just waiting to populate it with content. And so I can't tell you what's coming out next week. We could go over to the comixology.com website and I could give you some listings of comics that are coming out next week there. But even that is starting to get a little bit more complex. For the main reason is I don't know how much longer. So the comixology.com website is going away because of this. Amazon wants a tighter integration with the Amazon brand. I mean, your account's not going away. In fact, most of you, if you have a Comixology account, have already been asked to switch your Comixology account to your Amazon account and merge it together. You're not losing any of your digital comics, right? You still can go and now you can read your Comixology comics on your Kindle app or really anywhere. So you still have access to all your books, but now everything is going through the Amazon.com website for your comics. Unfortunately, and they have shared the Comixology web page on the Amazon site. I think it's just under comics, digital comics, I believe. Mm-hmm. But when you go to that page, Comixology has a thing by saying, here's what's coming out in the weeks ahead. If you go to the Amazon page, they have no such thing. So I don't know what we're going to do in the future if Previews World continues to wait until the Monday or Tuesday before comics release to update this list. Because once the Comixology.com website goes away, now that's not going to go away just yet. I got an email the other day that said, hey, we're running behind or something's holding it up. So it'll be probably February or March before the Comixology complete switchover happens. And I think J. Michael T., if he's in the chat, will confirm this because I think he's on the beta. I think he's under an NDA beta thing with that. But So I don't know what to tell you in the future of how we're going to do this show. My favorite thing is I enjoy having you participate, and I enjoy going in blind and going, oh boy, what is everyone going to pick for us to read this week? Because I think, quite honestly, over the last, 4 years that we've been doing this format, 3 or 4 years, that I've been exposed to a lot more comics that I would never have picked up had it not been for our dear listeners selecting those comics for us. So for that, I really thank you. And I kind of, I need to send an email to somebody at Comixology saying, curse you, Comixology, fix your releases over on the Amazon page. Because there's a bigger issue that I'll get to in a minute. So I don't know what's going on. And I don't know how we're going to deal with this in the future. Okay. I'm also not going to tell you what's coming out next week, even though I can easily go over to the Comixology website right now and filter by date and filter by publisher and tell you, hey, there's a Almost American coming out next week, as well as Spider-Man issues coming out next week, Action Comics coming out. I could tell you all of those things. But the thing that you also have to keep in mind is next week is Thanksgiving here in the United States of America. And because of that, we don't have a show next week. So I'm not going to tease you and say, hey, everybody, go in and tell us what comic you want us to review next week, because we're not going to do a show. So that's a lot of of wasted time for you. So I'm not going to go. I'm not going to go through that. Yeah.
Alderaan.
So that whole long story was a lead up to me saying, hey, we don't have a show next week. Don't bother going and looking for the links to cast your vote over at patreon.com/majorspoilers. You know what? A perfect Thanksgiving gift would be to, if you're not already a patron, to go over and sign up and become a patron at patreon.com/majorspoilers. I think you'll really like what we have going on over there. But we're not going to have a show next week. If you're already a patron, thank you. One of the things that I'm very thankful for in this Thanksgiving season is all of our patrons. So thank you very much. So no show next week. My greater concern, Matthew, and I kind of am interested in a little bit of your thoughts on this. Mm-hmm. My greater concern about a site like Comixology and a site like Previews World waiting until the very last minute to let you know what is coming out that particular week seems very dangerous to the physical comic world. Now, I know the reason is because, oh, what's coming out this week? I want to go and see what's coming out this week so I know what I want to pick up when I go to my comic book store. What am I looking forward to? Or what can I look forward to next week in case I need to save my pennies so I can buy this $10.99 comic? By the way, I think Bigby Wolf and Batman is
$8.99.
No, it's not $8.99. It's $3.99. Okay. So you got to save all 399 pennies to pick up that issue. By keeping everyone blind until the last minute, there's no real incentive for me to go to the comic book store. I mean, even when you watch a television show, a procedural like The Flash, a drama like The Flash, they say, hey, next week on The Flash, they give you that teaser saying, hey, next week, come back because you're going to get this second chapter, this next installment of our adventure. And that's kind of what these previews listings do, at least for me, is give me a chance to say, ooh, look what's coming up. Oh, I didn't know that. You know, that Ablaze has this new Conan coming out, or that, you know, that I forgot that there's an Army of Darkness book coming out until I can see that complete list. Now, certainly sites like majorspoilers.com, we run the previews, sneak peeks on the Tuesday before the Wednesday, but that's not every publisher. That's literally the gold tier of publishers that we cover. We, and maybe some of the lower tiers, I think Archie's up in the gold tier, so we cover Archie. And then it's up to the rest of those minor publishers to reach out to us. Like an Ablaze, like a Titan, like a Zenoscope. But we don't have access to know what's coming out next. And so that concerns me for the future of stores. Now, I know the answer is, well, you guys got a previews book. Well, that's a lot different because that's telling you what's coming out during the month. And yes, right. Some of those will list, some of those will say, hey, this is coming out on April 16th. But what happens when April 16th comes around and you've got a paper shortage? And you decide, oh, we're gonna hold back on 6 books. You're gonna show up on April 16th. Man, there's a new Black Sad volume out. Crap, there's a new Black Sad volume out. I didn't know that. Crap. I'm gonna run down to the store and say, I want my volume of Black Sad, volume 6. They All Fall Down, part 2. It's $5.99. It came out this week. Oh man, I gotta buy that now. From Europe Comics, and you're going to go to the store and they're like, yeah, we didn't get that this week. And then you've wasted your trip down to the comic book store. So that's my fear, Matthew, of these sites not updating their stuff, or publishers just, you know, I wish that publishers would reach out to us. I know they're not, maybe they're reaching out to CBR. Maybe they're reaching out to Bleeding Cool. Maybe they're reaching out to comicbook.com, but I got to sort through a bunch of crap stuff before I can get to actual stuff that's about comic books. So I doubt I will be able to find a complete rundown from even the publishers on those other sites. And so this concerns me about what do I want to go and buy? And I'm not, me personally, I'm not someone who's just going to flick through a side-scrolling thing on Amazon or Comixology or even a Previews World site to say, oh, what's new this week? So I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I actually agree. I mean, anytime I've been on Amazon, first of all, I feel like their layout is completely counterintuitive. And I feel like shopping there is very, very difficult. And if you are going to, you know, if you're going to have an industry where you literally have to order 2 months in advance, having not having the ability to see what's coming out in any given week that you ordered 2 months before, or 3 months before if it's delayed, is a problem. Because, you know, the last month or two, I've had issues where I'm like, hey, this comic is, they're telling me it's out this week, it's not here. And they're telling me it's out the next week, and it's not here. And finally, the third week around, it pops up. But there's no place to check. I mean, I go to Comixology. Comixology says, here's the release date. I go to Previews. Previews says, here's the release date. But the release date changes. Nobody has that information. You can't go to DC's website or Marvel's website and get shipping information. So,
yeah, I mean, some of those are not updated. The most updated stuff comes from Comixology and Previews World. And, of course, major spoilers when we have it. But even then, you know, when I do our previews, our sneak peeks on Tuesdays, the publishers don't send us the solicitation information. So I have to go and search for that solicitation information. Most of the time I'm going into the solicitation stuff that they sent us, you know, 4 months previous. So like today I went into for the November stuff. I went into something that we posted on the site 3 months ago to pull the solicitations. And I look and I can see even in the solicitations, they say a coming out on October 30th or 31st or whatever that Wednesday was. And I'm like, wow, you guys missed that by like 2 weeks. And so even then you can't trust that stuff. So what I'm saying is Previews World, either frickin' pay your ransom or get a different website and get your stuff up and running. The other thing is, go ahead and post what's coming up. I mean, what they used to say is, hey, this list is subject to change. Please come back the day before for the most recent thing. And they're not doing that. And certainly COVID and lack of employees and other stuff that's going on with Diamond is probably contributing to the fact that I'm looking at November 24th and it's a blank screen. Some of that may be contributing to that. But if you want people to read comics, you literally cannot expect them to scroll through on any website, even the major spoilers website, to see something that catches their eye by chance. Because here's the other thing, even as much as I like the Comixology website and the Comixology app, and I'm a big fan of Comixology, so there you go. I'm not a fan of Amazon, but I'm a big fan of Comixology and the things that they do. I am not going to scroll through for this week 6 pages of 56 times six pages of 56 times six is
336
individual PyCons or images, cover images, to see if that is a new comic or something that came out in 1972 or something that came out this week. And even then I completely forgot Black Sad was coming out. And I'm disappointed. I'm very disappointed in myself because that's a freaking awesome comic.
Right.
But it's only because I'm bitching and complaining that I'm scrolling through and saw, because Black Sad is B and that's at the front of the alphabet alphabetically, that I'm seeing that, because I'm certainly not going on to page six or page eight and scrolling down and looking and saying, here's Supergirl World of Tomorrow. Oh, I also didn't know that new issue came out this week. Because we don't have that listing. So what I'm saying is, publishers, if you're listening, and I know some of you are listening, I am more than happy to host your updated listing of comics coming out each week if you send it to me the Thursday before. If you send it to me the week before, I am more than happy to run this or even hold it until Tuesday morning if that's what you want, although I don't suggest you do that. But I will run your list of comics that you're coming out if Previews World is not doing their job for you. I am willing to do that. I know it's a lot more work for me. Send it to me in a freaking Excel spreadsheet, just like you're sending it to Previews World, just like you're sending it to Diamond. I will run this for you. Okay? We have to, if you want this industry to survive, you can't rely on certain sites to try and promote your comics when they're inundated with wrestling, when they're inundated with video games and Pokemon cards. Okay? Mm-hmm. People aren't going to find that stuff on that kind of a website. You need to go to a website that is a comic book oriented website. And I think, humbly, I think Major Spoilers is that site. Now, the other site you could go to, if you don't want to go to Major Spoilers, I would certainly recommend The Beat. Heidi McDonald does a freaking fantastic job of what she does over at The Beat. Okay? So if you don't want to go through Major Spoilers, go to The Beat. Okay? But don't rely on a podcast to let people know what's coming out in the next week. Even when we do that on this show, we barely touch on 10% of the comics that are coming out. So I guess end of rant. I guess I kind of got worked up. I'm a little worked up this week, ladies and gentlemen, so I apologize.
It happens.
But here's the thing. We are off next week. I will see what's going on next week, next Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, whatever day it is. I will check.
Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
Well, I don't want to wait too long, because if we're going to continue to do this show and we're going to continue to do it with our fine listeners, our fantastic people who are listening, Matthew, they need a chance to vote. And we literally cannot. It doesn't work well for our scheduling for us to keep the voting open until Wednesday morning and then have everybody vote and then tabulate that up because we read that comic in less than 24 hours because, number one, we have other things that we have to do. So, you know, again, until, as I mentioned in the pre-show, until we're able to hire people full time that we can dedicate a chunk of our time each day to sitting down and reading comics, it's kind of hard to just say, hey, you've got 30 minutes, read this comic and then talk about it. Number two, we do get previews of comics that are coming out. Not all of them, but we do get some previews from some publishers. We don't get review copies from DC Comics right now for whatever reason. But we do get review comics from a lot of other publishers. And if you're DC Comics and you want us to continue to review your comics and you want to send us comp copies, please help us out on that. But the other thing that happens is everybody... We have a few reviewers, but I think we got like 5 or 6 reviewers. And Sunday morning, there's a mad scramble for everybody to claim what comic they're going to read for the week.
Yep.
And so by Sunday morning, usually the week is already full of who is going to review what comic. Okay. And so if we wait until Wednesday for a poll to close, and we may have to do this, there's a good chance that if the overwhelming number of people come out and say, holy crap, there's a Black Sad comic coming that came out. Please review Black Sad. And I'm surprised you guys, I'm so disappointed that you guys didn't tell us to review Black Sad issue number 2 this week. I'm so disappointed in you guys. Black Sad's a freaking awesome comic. But here's the thing. There's a good chance that you guys could all say Black Sad number 2 and somebody else has already claimed it for the week. And I, even though it's my prerogative and I tell everybody that it's my prerogative, because I'm the executive producer and I run the site, that I can come to people and say, hey, the fans want us to review this comic this week. You can't review it. Neener, neener, boo, boo. And then the person says, well, I already reviewed the comic yesterday and it's already on the site. Or I already wrote the review and now you're telling me you're not going to run it because of your podcast. And I'm not someone that is a big fan of duplicate reviews. Occasionally they will slip through, like once every 6 months, there will be a duplicate review. But for the most part, as I mentioned a moment ago, 336 comics, Matthew. There are 336 comics. I think there's enough for everybody to review something different.
Oh, absolutely. But the question is, do we want to?
Yes. You know what? Here's the thing. Here's a promise that I will make to you, dear listeners, right at this very moment.
A promise from Stephen. Please stand by.
If we ever have enough funding to pay people a decent wage for freelance work, and we have enough funding to hire people full time, I guarantee you that each week we will have a minimum of 150 reviews per week. Providing that there's not a pandemic and there's no comics coming out.
Right.
And maybe there's not 150 comics coming out that week, but I guarantee you that of all the comics that come out, we will review half of those comics. Every publisher that we have access to will be represented. Yeah, that is a lot of review. Just the Red is in our chat. And by the way, listeners, if you are a patron at patreon.com/majorspoilers, connect your Patreon account to the Discord server, and then Thursday nights at 8 o'clock p.m. Central Time, you can come in and listen to us record the show live, chat along with us, just like Just the Red is. And she says, man, that's a lot of comics to review. That's a lot of reviews. You're dang right. But you know what? We don't need to run 30. That means we won't have to run 37 stories about Pokemon cards.
Right. We'll only run 36 stories about Pokemon cards.
No, we won't run any stories about Pokemon cards. Well,
do
unless we have our...
about Pokemon cards?
No, I'm trashing another website. And that's not right. But people who are listening beforehand know that I was aggravated that a very popular website, only one third of their front page content, and they're supposed to be a comic book site, one third of their front page content was comic books. The other two thirds were Pokemon cards and video games and some other stuff.
That sounds...
So, yeah, no, I mean, I'm very serious about major spoilers, and I think people can hear me, that I'm very, very serious about major spoilers. And I'm very committed to major spoilers. And I want it to be the best thing it can be. But if we're being hobbled because Previews World can't get their act together, and we're hobbled because Amazon doesn't want to have a here's what's coming up page, even though if you do a search for a frickin' book, it'll tell you if it's coming out in advance. You know, it'll say, hey, buy this book. It comes out in April of 2022. They have that already. Just do that for your comic book section. Then that hobbles Dueling Review. So what I'm saying is, dear listeners, is there's a very good chance that because of these other screw-ups that other people are doing, this show may not have a life past January. We'll see. If there's any venture capitalists out there who just want to flush $10 million down the drain, I guarantee you we'll be one of the best comic book websites out there. Can't guarantee you that you'll get your money back. Reach out to me, podcastmajorspoilers.com. Matthew, anything else you'd like to say before we get out of here? Any comments, thoughts on anything that I have shared as the... this is really a VIP live chat conversation,
kind of is,
ladies
yeah.
and gentlemen.
No, I mostly agree. Where I don't agree, it's not worth worrying about, and I've had a crappy day. So, yeah, I'm with Steven. Woohoo! I'm Steven's backup. Yeah. Woohoo!
You can... Whenever I walk into the room, you can carry the boombox and play it when I walk into the room.
Yeah, exactly.
And we'll have our sunglasses on and our
I'll have the long black trench coat, and you'll have
we have to wear velour track suits.
Are we tracksuit Draculas now?
We are Russian mafia.
Okay.
If there's any Russian mafia that wants to back us, don't reach out.
We are run MSP.
Yeah, yeah. I'll wear my white. What do they wear, kids? What do they wear?
Nike. Adidas.
Oh, Adidas. That's right. Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
I'll wear my white Adidas and my cool hat. So there you go.
I will not wear white Adidas. I need.
Listen
I
to
need,
this. We have recorded a freaking long show for you guys, and we still have a flashback podcast still to record.
Flashback.
So if you want to know more about the flashback podcast, we sit down with almost every episode of The Flash, and we talk about it. The first one's coming out this week. You can only get it when you become a patron at patreon.com/majorspoilers. We're going to go record that now. We will be back in 2 weeks. Thank you so much. Everyone, have a happy holiday.
This podcast is copyright 2021 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.